I'm going to pray for us. I'll then read these words from Matthew's Gospel, and that will come to be. Let me pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you that when we open up the Bible, you speak to us through your word. And we thank you that as your Spirit opens blind eyes, as your Spirit softens hard hearts, we can meet with the risen Lord Jesus on the pages of Scripture. And we pray now that you would help us to hear your voice as you speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read from Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
I don't know about you. Lots of people are weary.
Say much to read or observe such a thing. I read fairly recently about tireds, T-I-R-E-D-S. So tireds are 30-something, independent, radical, educated dropouts. This is a group of people that get to their mid to late 30s and just feel so exhausted by their careers they drop out and bum around for a little bit. Can't even wait for a midlife crisis now. People do it in their 30s, and brilliant. It's an increasingly common phenomenon. I saw something in the Times a couple of weeks ago about restless Britain. 1 in 10 people apparently in the UK rely on medicine to get to sleep. And the article was saying, that's way out of kilter. Of course, it can have its uses for a period of time, but chemical sleep is not normal sleep. It's with your environment and your habits. There's something not quite right if that's the case. And many of us will be tired. Life is exhausting. Work is exhausting. If you have young children, they're exhausting. London's exhausting. If you live here, commuting in can be even more exhausting. It's not hard to get tired by these sort of things. Jesus issues this very lovely call. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let me define that right at the beginning, rest. I think that is then a salvation and satisfaction that comes from trusting in Jesus Christ. Salvation and a satisfaction that comes from resting in Jesus Christ. I was about to mention, and this is the last week, we're in Matthew chapter 11. We spent a month here looking at various different responses that people make to Jesus. And here then is his call. Come to me all. None are excluded. All are welcomed or invited. Come all who are weary and burdened. And really it's an invitation or a summons to give up a yoke of self-reliance, trusting in yourself, which is a yoke, he'll say. Give that one up and take up a yoke of faith in him, in Jesus Christ. So let me just try and break it down, three things. The exhaustion we feel, the rest that is offered, and then the Saviour that calls. Okay, just three different things. The exhaustion we feel then, well, what's he talking about here? A yoke. Take my yoke instead of the yoke you're wearing. I don't want you to think of in those terms. The New Testament pictures two sorts of yokes. There's a yoke which you might have with two cows, and there's a bar across both of them holding them together. And so Paul would say, don't be yoked with an unbeliever, that sort of language. That's true. Here, I think in picture is the yoke that the milkmaid might carry. You know, the wooden bar across the shoulder with the two pails. I don't know why I think a milkmaid. I just do. You have a thing and you have two buckets, one on each side, that sort of yoke. And Jesus is saying naturally, or many of us are wearing a yoke. Take that off, put his on instead. So what is the yoke? He defines it as this, as being weary and burdened. Those are not just synonyms there. Weary, that's an active verb that he uses. So these are the things that we do that tire us out. Sort of a relentless running around activity. And some of us are just exhausted from the things that we do. Constantly chasing one thing after another, after another, and after another. I guess the English idiom would be, come to me those who have run out of steam. Just... So the picture here, perhaps, is like, do you remember, not all words, Duracell used to advertise themselves with a little bunny. It was a children's toy. It was a bunny rabbit, and you put the batteries in the back, and it had a drum, and it just used to, you know, bang its drum and waddle around the floor. And the advert was, all other batteries conk out very quickly, but if you have Duracell, you just keep on going and keep on going. Which, the picture here is Jesus is saying, come to me if you're, well, you're just wearing out a little bit. Your batteries, you've been going like this for quite some time now, but you're just starting to feel a little running out of steam. Come to me, if you're weary by the things that you do. It's an active sense. It's slightly, I guess you could put it this way, our fault if we're weary. It's relentless activity that exhausts us out. The other side of things, though, is the burden. Come to me, those who are burdened. Now, this is a passive verb he uses here. So the sense here is that someone's come along and dumped upon you a burden of some kind. And for a while you can cope, but it gets exhausting. So the picture is, you've got a bag of cement on each shoulder. And for the first 5 minutes, that's okay. But then after a while, wandering around the office or your life with a bag of cement on each shoulder, trying to go up some stairs with those on your shoulders, it gets really tiring after a while. Someone has placed a burden upon you. You see these two things. Wearying, that's what we do. Burden, that's what someone's placed upon us. And Jesus says, come to me, those who are that way. Now, what sort of burdens might be upon us? I don't know. Let me suggest three. The first is, I think, Jesus' primary sense. Come to me, those who are burdened. The first, then, to suggest it this way, would be a burden of salvation. So elsewhere in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus uses this same word again of being burdened. In Matthew 23, he talks about the Pharisees, the Jewish religious teachers of the day. And says Matthew 23, verse 4, they tie up heavy burdens and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Jesus said the teachers of his day were placing this burden upon people. If you keep these 613 laws, then God will accept you. After a while, you think, okay, I'll give that a go. But after a while, the burden of that is just exhausting. Going through life without as a burden. If I keep all of these rules, then God will accept me. It's exhausting. It'll burn you out after a while. To put it starkly, 20 years ago now, I guess, my university days, I lived 1 year with three other guys. It was another Christian, a pagan, and a Jew. Sounds like a joke, it's not. Sorry about that. But the Jewish fellow, he was a secular Jew, and a big drinker, and a party animal, that sort of thing. But one summer he went and did the traditional thing. He went and worked on a kibbutz for a few months, came back to the UK, and resolved to be fully Orthodox. Very interesting, watching the change. I mean, sad, but very interesting. I mean, it was funny at the time, you know, his rabbi would ring up and say, Paul, put down your bacon butty, and, you know, your rabbi's on the phone. No one laughed. But we thought it was funny. But he had to move out after 2 months. Because some things were super, I mean, the clothing he wore changed, he grew his hair at the sides, had the ringlets. But after a while, he couldn't eat in our house. There wasn't the requisite two sinks, two sets of pans, etc., etc. So he had to move out and moved in with an Orthodox family. But the change was stark. He cut himself off from all his old friends. For some reason, he and I kept up. I think it was because he thought I was a religious sort of person as well, so I would kind of understand him a bit better. After university, he went off to New York and trained as a Lubavitch Jew, as a rabbi. Now, their belief is that when the good deeds of the Jews outweigh the bad deeds, then the Messiah will come. So it's a bit like a set of scales. When they, as a group of Jews, live good enough, hurrah! They've sort of opened up the door and Jesus, it was not Jesus, their Messiah that they're expecting can return. And I see him every so often. And the obvious thing about that, as the time has gone by, he's humourless. He's gloomy. To be honest, he's pretty wretched company now. Because the burden of that, not only does he think, if I keep these 613 laws, then God will accept me, but also I've got to live a good enough life and persuade the Jews in my congregation, in my synagogue, to lead a good enough life so that we can bring in the Messiah and the world. I mean, that's a pretty big burden upon you. And that's the burden that Jesus is talking about here, primarily, I think, a burden of salvation. If you think your performance will achieve you a place in heaven, that puts quite a burden upon your performance. And when things go badly, that's really tiring. And Jesus says, get rid of that. That'd be the first type of burden, a burden of salvation. There are others I think we carry around that would come, maybe related. Another will be a burden of expectation that some may carry around with us. Common phrase, isn't it, in the English parlance. A former England manager, Fabio Capello, used to talk about the burden of expectation upon England's footballers. The shirt is heavy because the expectation is too great. Some of us may well feel that. It could be parental expectation. They achieve great things. They made sacrifices for my education. I need to achieve great things. It could be spousal burden. You know, we need to have this sort of standard of living. We need to get the children to these sort of schools. Oh, okay. All sorts of burdens. I saw it vividly once when I used to be a school teacher. I taught in a variety of schools. When I taught in an independent school, some parents put an enormous pressure on their kids. One lovely lad I taught, history, A level 2, a lad called Ed, 16 and 18, between those years. Now, his grandfather, his father, and his older brother had all gone to the same Cambridge College, Gombel and Keys. So guess what? Ed was going to go to Gombel and Keys. He had to. The problem was, and I taught his older brother, Ed was bright, lovely lad, not quite as academic as the rest of the family. So remember the parents' evening where I suggested, I don't think that's the right place for him. And my head was ripped off by these parents sort of who had very set ideas on what their son would do. Okay. At the final year of his schooling, and I watched this very bright, vivacious, charming, talented, lively lad become absolutely miserable. Retreating to himself, collapse under the burden, flunk his A-levels, and spend the next year taking drugs and bumming around London. He just couldn't cope with that burden upon him. And some would know, you know, there are expectations upon us from, I don't know, parental, spousal. We may push them on ourselves. I need to perform better than anyone else in my team. I need to perform better than anyone else on my floor. I'm going to be the, well, what if you don't? Be careful. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't weary yourselves with placing that burden on yourself. So the main one then is a burden of salvation. There may be a burden of expectation. Some live, I think, with a burden of control or the illusion of control. If I can just have X thousand pounds in the bank, then we'll be fine. If I can just get my child into that school, then they'll be fine. If I can just get into the office at 4 a.m. each day, then I'll be able to control everything and be on top of things before everyone else gets in. And no one else quite has the same attitude as me, so I need to double check and triple check their work to make sure it's good enough. And the ironic thing is you can have a burden of trying to control everything in life and therefore be paralyzed because you can't. And again, the issue is self-reliance in that scenario. If we're burdened by salvation, thinking we have to do that ourselves, by expectations, by wanting to control life. Do you see how these relate? If we're burdened with these things, then we'll weary ourselves trying to achieve them. Do you see how the two relate? If there's a burden upon you, you'll drive yourself crazy with activity, relentlessly trying to squeeze just a little bit more than 24 hours into the day. We'll weary ourselves trying to meet the burdens that are placed upon us. And that's why we're exhausted sometimes, often, in life, says Jesus. That's the exhaustion we feel. Second thing, and we'll move through these other two briefly. Second then, what is the rest that is offered? Verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls, he says, verse 29. And what does he mean by that? It means take off the yoke of self-reliance. Take off the yoke that you think you can save yourself by your performance. That you can keep everyone happy and take off the burden of expectations. Take off the false belief that you can control your life. Those are exhausting. Take off those false yokes and come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll give it.
What do we have to do, Jesus, to get your rest?
No, no. I'll give it. Come to me. It's a gift. You don't have to earn it. There's not a performance level. You don't have to behave well enough. It's not a point reward system. I just give it to you. I will give you salvation, says Jesus Christ. Oh, if you trust in my death for you, that's it. You can have 100% confidence that you'll go to heaven. That's a gift. And actually that confidence, that will affect, that will blur into the rest of your life. No longer will you be driven to achieve certain things which you don't really need to do. When you have the gift of salvation, well then you can practically take off you can practically take off the yoke of self-reliance at that point as well. Stop trusting in yourself. Try and give a silly example. A few months ago now, I needed to block up a doorway in our house. So I needed a piece of wood, kind of door shape. So the timber merchant is only 5 minutes from our house, but I didn't want to carry the wood. So I drove there. The problem was their circular saw was broken, and so I had to buy a whopping bit of wood. It's about 9 foot by 5 foot. I wouldn't fit in the car, so I took the car back home, walked around, and said, I'll carry it. They said, it's quite heavy. No, it's fine. It's fine. It was only 5 minutes. Well, it's heavy quite quickly, a bit of wood that big. And the other thing about it is it's just a really awkward shape. So I was wandering down the road with this bit of wood on my head and my arms stretched out like this, taking out one or two others. But every 200 yards, I just had to stop because it's really heavy. So stop, look at this thing, you know, pick it up, go about another 100 yards. Of course, you pass lots of people and they'll say, oh, that looks heavy. Thank you for your observation. It's a very shrewd insight you've made there. Yeah, that looks heavy. Yeah, thank you very much. Very good. You ought to have a car. Yes, yes. But, you know, so after about 40 minutes, I've done almost half the distance. I'm thinking, I can't believe this. It's only taking 2 hours to walk 5 minutes at this rate. Eventually, someone came along and said, well, that's heavy. Would you like a hand? Yes, I would. Yes, I would. And so the two of us carried this piece of wood. Now, even with two of us, it still took about half an hour, in truth, because it's quite heavy, and we still needed to put it down and take some breaks. But having the hymn made all the difference in the world. Jesus is coming along and saying, look, I'm not going to help you. I'm going to take the whole thing off you. I'm not going to help you carry your words. I'm not going to help you with your burdens. I'll just take them completely away. What does he mean? Well, again, primarily he means salvation. Stop thinking you can earn it, that it's your work. Just trust in me. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Trust that I died in your place. That's it. You're in. God accepts you. Okay. Now, if you believe that, says Jesus, let me take others off you. What's this parental expectation or your spousal expectation? Well, I'm your Lord now. And I say, you don't need to do that. It doesn't matter if you don't achieve a salary or whatever it is. It doesn't matter if you don't get into Gombolin Keys. I'm your master. I tell you what's important. You don't need that. Oh. Okay. Take off the burden of self-reliance. Don't think you can control your own life. Trust me. Practically. So this rest is fundamentally salvation, but it will work itself out in satisfaction. Here and now. Ultimately, rest is in the future. We only fully rest when we get to heaven, when we get to glory. But Jesus is saying, look, if you know me, this will start now. It will start now if you trust in me. Oh, but not perfect until then. The exhaustion we feel, the rest that's offered. Briefly, lastly, the Saviour that calls. All I'm saying here, verse 29, it is him. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. And what is he like? I'm gentle and humble in heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light.
So please don't make a mistake here. Don't think Jesus says, I'll take this yoke off you, and I'll give you another one. How does that one feel? Well, I don't really like the wooden bar across. He's saying, yes, you'll follow me, but don't get confused, it's not a burden. He's saying, because I'll be with you in this. I'm gentle. I'm humble. What a wonderful teacher to have. What a wonderful saviour to have. You know, if you rest, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you'll find rest for your souls. Oh, there's still work for you to do, he says. You still live for me. You're still obeying me, but it's not the same burden of expectation. Because I'll say to you, yeah, go live differently as a Christian. And when you fail, don't cry. Look up. I'm still smiling at you. Because I knew you'd fail. And I've died for your failures. So have another go. And if you fail again, don't panic. I've died for your failures. Now let me help you. He's a wonderful teacher. He's gentle. He's humble. So that you can either start each day, and sometimes it is useful to think in these terms, start each day, okay, so I get up and I come into the office, or before you get into the office, before you leave your house, what am I going to do today, if I'm a Christian, what am I going to do today? Am I going to attempt to navigate my way through the day, burdened by the expectations, burdened by certain tasks I've got to do? Or am I going to start this day thinking, Jesus is my Lord and my Saviour. I live for him. I'm going to work really hard today. I'm going to do the best job I can do today. But he knows me. He's died for me. I trust him. These two are very different. The first is, it's all about me today. Can I perform well enough? The other is, I'm going to do my best today, but I trust in Jesus as well. I don't primarily begin the day thinking, I've got to achieve everything. I begin the day saying, I've received wonderful things. I've received salvation from Jesus Christ. I live for him. Okay, now I'll have a go. Now I'll go out and give work a go. So look, do you start each day satisfied in Jesus Christ, resting in him, trusting his provision, or do you go to work fearful? That's a simple test, I think. Do I begin the day trusting, or do I begin the day fearful? It's a practical rule of thumb. The Saviour that calls, what's he like? He's gentle. He's humble. You ever see how he relates to children in Matthew's Gospel? It's very lovely. They're not intimidated by him. They don't think, oh, he's going to make real demands over me that are very challenging. Very gentle with them. Recognise that that's how he's like. So live your life resting in Jesus Christ, trusting in his provision. Don't live your life anxious to achieve eternity, or anxious that everything in this life is in your hands. Don't live like that, he says. Come to me. Come to me. Rest from your weariness that comes from chasing your burden. Rest in me. It's a wonderful way to live. Come to me. Father, thank you for this offer, this command of the Lord Jesus to come to him. And we pray if we've never done that, we would come to him and know the wonderful joy that eternity is ours, not because of our labours, but because of his. And what a relief that is. Father, for those of us who know you, would we live this out practically? Not live our lives fearful of what happens if we get it wrong, but trusting in your good provision and then doing the best that we can. Father, would we follow him, the one who is humble, who is gentle, and therefore no rest for our souls. We pray it in his great name. Amen.